Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Stealing the Thunder. Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we avoid radio silence at all costs, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond, on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR, emanating live from the flight deck as we soar through the overnight on the red eye all night long here, the Fox Sports Radio studios, and back at it. Now, when I went to bed, much like you, I did not anticipate that the entire day of the NFL draft would be about a guy who was not drafted in the 2021 NFL draft. But that's exactly what we had. Our lead coming from the world of speculation, rampant speculation. Very rarely does something steal the thunder from the NFL draft. It goes without saying, we all know that. The NFL draft's the big event for dopes like us that work in sports radio. It happened, and I assume you know where I'm going, but maybe you live in a vacuum, and I recommend relocating if you do live in a vacuum, but welcome to Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. The NFL media world, the elites who cover football, were turned upside down and inside out as they contemplated the future of Aaron Rodgers. Where is he going to go? The football gossip house working overtime. Insider this source close to the situation tells us blah, 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 blah. But they were pretty much stopped dead in their tracks regarding the Aaron Rodgers story. The NFL draft had been overshadowed before it had even begun. And yeah, we saw the draft and we'll rant and rave on that throughout the overnight. There's a couple stories that stole the attention away from the draft. Trevor Lawrence went number one. The top couple of picks went as anticipated. There were some wild surprises, if you believe the mock draft, some terrible picks in the middle of the first round. But the NFL draft had been overshadowed. Aaron Rodgers, the reigning most valuable player in pro football, has told apparently multiple members of the organization that he does not enjoy eating cheese curds anymore and wants no part of Green Bay. Now, this coming just days after the Packers general manager, Brian Gutekunst, said that Rodgers was firmly in the team's plans for the foreseeable future. Now, we knew our Spidey-like senses immediately. That was bullcrap. And it didn't take long to determine that was bullcrap. Spoiler alert, the first round of the draft has come and gone. Aaron Rodgers has not been traded yet. So file that one away. And we do have some updated comments from Wisconsin GM Brian Gutekunst saying after the Packers pick that at no point did the organization tell Aaron Rodgers they were going to trade his ass. That's false. That's a quote. That's false. Now he claims, Gutekunst claims that one team called on draft day and said, "Hey, let's make a deal." That was after the story started bouncing around the echo chamber, and he claimed that the call was very brief. He also said, the Packer GM, point blank, quote, "No, we're not going to trade Aaron Rodgers," close quote. And we'll see if that stands the test of time. But let us discuss the question. What are the odds that Aaron Rodgers will be able to successfully jimmy his way out of Green Bay? Now, I'm going to set the line on this on a Aaron Rodgers trade. I'm going to be optimistic. Benny Brightside on this. I'm going to go minus 300. And if you're not a gambler, that implies a 75% chance. So we are going high on this. Now, my observations, you've got muscle Virgin Atlantic, and premeditated. And we'll put all this together. Now, number one.
Number one.
So Aaron Rodgers is using the page from the playbook of Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. You might look to your reference guide there. It's on page 7 of the quarterback playbook. It's the prevailing taste of 2021. It's have a hissy fit and demand to be traded because I'm not respected and I need out. Don't you know the quarterback's the most important player on the team? And if the quarterback's not happy, nobody's happy. Now, how did that work out for Russell with muscle and Watson, by golly? Well, Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson have not packed up the station wagon and moved off to greener pastures. So why would things be different for Rodgers? I'm clearly more optimistic that Aaron Rodgers is going to be traded, and I'll tell you why. If Rodgers, and this is a big if, but if Rodgers is actually hellbent on checking out of the Hotel Lambeau, he's got the muscle to pull this off. Now, he doesn't look very physically imposing, but he's got the skill required to pull that situation out of his hat, like a rabbit out of the hat. Now, that said, it is going to be a nasty divorce, which is great for gas bags like myself. We're talking loads of content from now until whenever the divorce is finalized. Now, every situation is unique. You know that. No two things are the same. Even twins have differences. But Watson, the reason he was not traded, Deshaun Watson, is because he's nuclear waste at this particular point after his perverted massages and a lot of silence now. There's talk of a negotiation to settle all that. We'll see if it works out. I did see, and you probably did too, Roger Goodell, who's really annoying and just, oh man, we're going to just destroy the NFL draft coverage, but that's later. But Roger Goodell did say the NFL is aware, of course, and they're awaiting judgment, but he gave some vague PC response, but indicated and certainly implied that punishment will be coming down to Deshaun Watson, which was rather obvious. And then you've got Russell, who's stuck in Seattle because Pete Carroll is 69 years old. He's the one calling the shots. He's got no interest in starting over, so he's going to ride the Russell Wilson express train until the wheels fall off, until the wheels fall off. Now, the second thing, back to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers' situation. I said it's different. You know, everything's unique and all that. And that's true, but the main thing is he's better, right? He's obviously better than Deshaun Watson. He's better than Russell Wilson. And clout is a hell of a drug. But the most important part of this is the fact that the Packers have already laid the groundwork. And I don't care what the Packer front office says. You can talk to the cows come home, Brian Gutekunst. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter this, that, and the other thing. Actions speak louder than words. And it's really from both sides. Trading up and drafting Jordan Love in 2020 is the farmer planting the seed. You don't draft Jordan Love without considering the ripple effect and the very real possibility that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to like that. And we already know Rodgers is a diva, right? Nobody can disagree with that. The guy's a diva. And so he wants to have his shoulders massaged, and drafting a quarterback is not a shoulder massage. It is not. It is a kick to the nuts. The main reason that Rodgers can strong-arm his way out, though, is he's got the daily double, right? You can blame the daily double. Aaron Rodgers has a gig. Now, it's not guaranteed to be his, but some say it is. Some say it's in his back pocket here. And holy jeopardy. Batman, that's the leverage card. Assuming he's actually offered the job, that is an assumption. Then Aaron Rodgers, it's all laid out. He leaves the Packers. He channels a Virgin Atlantic plane and goes into a holding pattern, waiting for Green Bay to trade him to his desired destination. In the meanwhile, he just hosts Jeopardy. Right? Talk about walking into the shoes of a legend, the late, great Alex Trebek. And as for the 2021 outlook on the field, Green Bay in the draft, did they go out and get some highfalutin wide receiver or tight end or someone like that, offensive lineman? No, they drafted a defensive back out of Georgia, some guy named Eric Stokes, near the end of the first round. And it was pointed out, if you saw the draft, that the Packers haven't taken an offensive player in the first round other than Jordan Love in a decade. The last one they picked was an offensive lineman in 2011, Derek Sherrod. So they've avoided adding players on offense. The Packers have gotten to a certain point. They've reached their highest level of incompetence, the Peter Principle, which is the NFC Championship game, and now that's it. They'll just stay there, and they can get back, and that'll be that. All right, final point. So the way this all went down, to me, was fascinating, right? Someone in Aaron Rodgers' posse, we're not sure who, carefully orchestrated the chain of events that played out. It was brilliant, right? It was brilliant. They knew the eyes of the sporting world, not just the football world, but the sporting world, would be squarely focused on the draft. And so it was premeditated. They could have let this information out a week ago, 2 weeks ago. This has been percolating for some time. But why did they do this now? Well, it's not only premeditated, it's payback, right? You know, you drafted Jordan Love last year in the draft. Okay, this year we're going to drop a bomb, a neutron bomb, hours before the draft. Manufactured drama from Aaron Rodgers. This is not go out, just kind of make it up as you go and ad lib. No, no, no improv. This was all planned out. Now, I love the makeup part of the story where you had like media hacks in Denver say that Rodgers could be going to the Broncos, and whispers at the 49ers in play for Aaron Rodgers, and everyone and their mother was throwing out insider information. And if you're a fan of the guidebook we wrote of weasel words, then you have to love the weasel words. Could, may, might, you are interested. I mean, I go on and on. You know, Team X is considering an offer for Aaron Rodgers. And you can literally play that game with anyone. You're not necessarily wrong. It's just a rumor. Why, the Chicago Bears have considered calling the Packers for Aaron Rodgers. Of course, why would the Packers do that? But anyway, we can go on and on. But considering nothing actually happened as far as an actual trade on Thursday, this would be filed into a storm in a teapot situation. And now that the first round has ended, the odds go down a wee bit. So what happens next? The story's not going away. There's a lot of posturing. Aaron Rodgers got to put his name on it. Now, how's he going to do that? I guess he would go on that. You know, he's got a paid gig with Pat McAfee on his radio show. I'd assume that Rodgers will take a check and go on there and say, well, it's not you, it's me. I need to go somewhere. But battle lines have been drawn. And we'll see how deep into the bunker, hunker and bunker, both sides want to go. It's a story that will not die down, as we said. And the GM, again, Brian Gutekunst, asked why he's optimistic that Aaron Rodgers will actually end up returning, gave a desperate sales pitch. He was singing the praises, the redeeming qualities of Green Bay, and talked about they have a really good team and great organization, and were very committed to him. After drafting his replacement last year, he had the balls to say we're very committed to him. I just believe that's what's best for the Green Bay Packers. And I truly believe, the quote continues, that's what's best for Aaron Rodgers as well. Now, he does have a contract. There's no guaranteed money in it, although there are some salary cap ramifications that must play out. So keep an eye on this story. And I do think he will play for a different team, Aaron Rodgers. We had said about a week ago that he was going to play 2021 in Green Bay, but I'm changing the odds on that at this particular point. So stay tuned. Inquiring minds would like to know what is next. We'll all be watching. It's riveting, unless it's not.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't call it a comeback. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we speak in circles and squares, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR, emanating live from inside your eardrums, providing you with marginal sports talk radio all night long until the roosters come out here on the powerful microphones of Fox Sports Radio. And good to have you along. And so we continue our in-depth team coverage of all things football. And again, a story that is not directly related to the big marquee event, the NFL draft, but it's a story that came out the day of the NFL draft that took a lot of the attention away. Our lead coming from Jacksonville, but not Trevor Lawrence, who was the number one overall pick. It was not that at all. This is actually about another quarterback who's apparently now not a quarterback. We're talking about the sensation of Tebow Nation. Tim Tebow, the man, the myth, the legend. He's back! I don't know if you saw this. Possibly not. Maybe you just turned on the radio and you've been out of the loop. But we have learned that the former quarterback for multiple teams, guy won a playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tim Tebow did. Threw a big touchdown pass. Tim Tebow is attempting to make a return to the league. He would like to play in his own stomping grounds, his old stomping grounds in Jacksonville. That's where he's from, with the hometown Jags. Now, Tebow recently had a secret workout. Yeah, a secret workout with Jacksonville, but not as a quarterback, as a tight end. And from what we're hearing, it went pretty well, but we don't know quite how well. He had initially reached out. He was the one that initiated the contact, not the other way around. He requested a tryout, and Jacksonville said, okay. What would happen if you called the team up and said, you know, I'd like to try out. I think I could play tight end for you. Click. They wouldn't even answer your call. All right, the question. Let us discuss the question. What do you make of Tim Tebow and this reported comeback in Jacksonville? So my thoughts on this, you've got a Crazy Ivan, Svengali, and Cloak and Dagger. And we put all these things together, and we'll cook them for about 10 minutes. Now, A, Tim Tebow, who has been in the last couple of months out of sight, out of mind. Is that a fair statement to make? I believe it is. Last we heard about Tim Tebow, he had retired from a failed baseball career. He was terrible at baseball, and he finally gave that up. That was back in February, and we figured that this was a na-na-na-na, hey-hey, goodbye situation. Well, it turns out that's not the case. We thought it would be upward and onward into the next chapter. Tebow's now a married man, which I assume means he's no longer a virgin. He married a Miss Universe. And so you assume the position that Tebow would simply settle into the pretty boy life of washed-up athlete on the boob tube. But no. No, no, no. Tebow has decided to pivot. We call this a Crazy Ivan. He has pulled the Crazy Ivan, the unexpected and radical change in direction from retired athlete to, hey, I want back in, put me in, coach, I'm ready to play. He's looking to swashbuckle his way back in to the spotlight. And since we know Tebow, certain way he approaches life, we'll call this the resurrection for Tim Tebow's football career. Now, one of those Disney-esque type feel-good stories. Failed quarterback turns failed baseball player, but star tight end leads his hometown team, Jacksonville's Jags, all the way to the championship. Whee! And the crowd goes wild. Now keep in mind that Tim Tebow was so bullheaded. How bullheaded was he? He was so bullheaded that he had refused to become a tight end. There were many people who were getting on the bully pulpit and saying, we want Tebow as a tight end. He's not a quarterback, but boy, he'd be a great tight end. Right? People were telling him this, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he closed his eyes. and said, no, 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 no. Just like that. That was over a decade ago that that was going on. Here we are, and now suddenly that's a good idea. Now, part B of this, Tim Tebow has the odds stacked against him. If he was a normal human being, you would say this is not going to happen. Because if you weigh, it's like the scales of justice. You weigh the positives and the negatives. On the face of things, the deck of cards is stacked against Tim Tebow. Right? I mean, it just is. Because Tebow's 33. He's past his athletic prime. It's a young man's game. And while 33 is young in the game of life, in the game of sports, it's not so much. He's been a baseball player. There's a lot of rust. Tebow last played real football in 2012. That's close to a decade. It's almost a decade since Tim Tebow was a good, you know, not even good, but a player. So a little old to start over in that profession. And as a member of the Jets in 2012, he was in 12 games. Since then, he had auditions with the Patriots, didn't make the team. Had an audition with the Eagles, didn't make the team. Couldn't make it. And then he played baseball from 2016 to 2019. He was riding the buses in the minor leagues and striking out at a high rate and not hitting. But he did become, at least the good thing for Tebow is he was the alternative Mets mascot. Instead of Mr. Met during spring training, they had Tim Tebow. But as far as the tight end position, this is uncharted territory. We all know Tim Tebow never played tight end in the NFL. To our knowledge, he hadn't played tight end ever. So those are all the black marks against him. Now, the two feathers in Tim Tebow's cap, he's actually got three. The main ones are the Svengali and nepotism. And do not underestimate either one of these. Tim Tebow can mesmerize and hypnotize those that watch him. It's the Svengali effect. He's got mind control. Yes, he does. Don't shake your head. No, he's got... Yes, shake your head. Yes, he's got mind control. Also, reading the room, the kinship between Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer is real. Tim Tebow's success cemented Urban Meyer as a legit big-time coach. Urban Meyer was skyrocketing up the coaching ranks. We used to have him on. This is how low Urban Meyer was on the coaching totem pole. When he was at Utah, we had Urban on. I was doing a college football show on Saturdays with our guy, Chris Landry, the old Fox football scout. And we had Urban Meyer on multiple times. And then he was like up for the Notre Dame job. He didn't get that. He went to Florida. But the thing that really pushed him over the top was the fact that they became a juggernaut at Florida with a bunch of hoodlums and despicable characters. But they also had Tim Tebow. And the championships that they won with Tebow and the Heisman and all that, that cemented Urban Meyer. So it's one of these cases, if you scratch my back, I'm going to scratch your back. It's that kind of situation. Now, as far as the football player part of it, Tim Tebow has the size. We think he's got the agility, 6'3", like 250, something like that. But you do have to have those breadbasket hands, unless you're just going to be a blocking tight end. And from what I'm hearing now, Tebow wants to be the Peyton Hillis of Jacksonville, if he does end up in Jacksonville. Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that. He wants to be a gadget player. Tim Tebow's now embracing being a gadget player. Also, the other feather in Tebow's cap here. And again, I think there's more negatives than positives, but if you want to give the full picture, he's got in the positive category, Svengali effect, nepotism, and also the other feather in his cap is he's a star. He's an above the head, the marquee star. He's a headliner. He creates attention, and as a publicity stunt, you would say, why not? And this is the entertainment business. Now, there is a fine line. It's like threading a needle. The NFL crossed that line in the draft with some of the fugazi things that they did. We'll talk more about that coming up. But the last word here on Tebow. To me, the most intriguing part of this story is the cloak and dagger way that it's gone down. Able to keep this workout hush-hush in the age of social media. Pretty impressive, right? This story has been embargoed. We think it came out on draft day to get full effect, and then poor Tim Tebow, Aaron Rodgers said, hey, hold my beer. I'm going to wipe this story completely off the face of the earth. But in this social media age where everything is in your face, right? I mean, it's just boom, right there in your face. This is a rare occurrence. So what happens next? I'm glad you asked. Now, here's what I anticipate is going to happen because Urban Meyer is grateful. That's the word I'll use. Grateful to what Tim Tebow did for him.
Urban Meyer!
Urban Meyer!
Urban Meyer!
All right. So we anticipate that Jacksonville will offer Tim Tebow an off-season training camp type contract. Take a flyer on Tim Tebow. Allow him to show that he can be a gargoyle of a tight end and then evaluate whether or not he's actually good enough to make the team. Of course, that's the nature of the beast. If not Jacksonville, though, if you want to spin the Maller wheel of speculation, if not Jacksonville, where, oh, where, oh, where, oh, where will he land? Round and round. Big money, big money, big money. No whammies. Stop.
Ooh. Ooh. Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys. If you think of a carnival barker, a guy that chews on cigars like a boxing promoter back in the old days, Jerry Jones. There's no better star effort in all of sports than Jerry Jones. If Tebow doesn't get the offer from Jacksonville, I can see Dallas calling, saying, hey, what about the Cowboys? How would you like to wear that star? Come down to Dallas, Tim. Hang out with us. It is the Ben Maller Show. As we press on, it's a big day. It's the middle of the NFL draft. We've been through one round. Two more days of draft activity to look forward to. And we can only imagine the kind of bullcrap that will come up on the NFL draft on a Friday and a Saturday. Will it be able to match what took place on Thursday? My goodness. I was like, what? I guess I'm becoming that guy, but I don't want to be that guy. But I was like, whoa, this is brutal. This is painful.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right, here we go. Whee!
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop Dalu.
So Stan Van Gundy threw some shade at Bill Simmons on Wednesday after Simmons called Van Gundy the worst coach in the NBA on his podcast. Ben, was that an unfair assessment from Bill Simmons?
No, I like this take by Bill Simmons. Good take. We used to like Stan Van Gundy, the Ron Jeremy of coaches, but I'm tired of him. He's like this whole poor man, Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich thing. And just from a basketball standpoint, Bill Simmons is right. It's malpractice that the Pelicans have a losing record. Zion Williamson is a total stud, and your old guy Ingram there, he's not too bad either. And both those guys have been putting up big numbers this year. New Orleans is 2-8 in games decided by 3 points or less, so that tells you they're not well coached. And they're 4-26 when trailing after three quarters. Those are telltale signs that team is lacking in the coaching department. Next.
So before the whole massage saga went down, there were, I believe, like 8 teams that were interested in a Deshaun Watson trade. Now, let's say that the two sides are working on a settlement, like we discussed. How many do you think will still be interested after that happens?
All right, so it's changed a little bit because of the draft, but you got to say Carolina because Sam Darnold's not very good. And the Bears, even though they drafted Justin Fields, Chicago's the killing field for quarterbacks. Washington, they would be on that list. And, heck, Green Bay could be on that list, depending on what happens with Aaron Rodgers. Deshaun Watson's not out of the woods, right? I mean, if he gets a settlement, he's still going to be suspended by the NFL. So I say he's stuck there in Houston until his suspension is over. Next!
So Pete Carroll spoke with the media before the draft, and he addressed all the Russell Wilson trade speculation. Carroll said, I knew what the truth was. We weren't trading Russell. Ben, do you think it was never on the table?
No, of course. I mean, listen, you're human. You contemplate it in your head. You're like, this guy's not happy. He's malcontent. They're liars if they say otherwise. They're lying. The fact that both Pete Carroll and John Schneider, the GM, had to announce that everything is fine between them and Russell Wilson tells you everything is not fine. All right, how do we do, Coop?
You pass this initiative.
There it is. That's a winner. Put it in the book. Ding, 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 ding.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
It's all about the jokes. The jokes never end. They go on all night. Big Ben's lame jokes of the week continue right now. We'll have amazing. I got some I got to send to Coop here. I should have done that a few minutes ago. I'll send these over to Coop right now. Click this over here. Click that over here. All right, here we go. These are actual jokes sent in by actual listeners like you. All right, how did people find out Doc Mike drinks his own urine?
Well, I think he told us, but how did this
happen? No, someone actually leaked it. It's Turnpike Bob in Ohio. What did Doc Mike tell his girlfriend before their date?
I don't know. What did he say?
You're in for a surprise. It's Turnpike Bob again. That's a good joke. All right, how do you get Blair in Maine to quit going through the peanut butter so fast?
I don't know. How do you keep him from doing that?
You get rid of the dog. That's what you got to do. Come on, man. That's easy. That's just Josh. I hope Blair's all right. He's not answering my calls, Eddie. I did a wellness check on Blair, but he didn't answer. Do you know the only thing worse than Blair losing again to Marcel?
No. What would be worse than that?
Well, it's being banned from the porn shop for being too creepy. That would be worse. That's Gary. From Youngstown, do you know what Marcel calls Blair from Maine?
His bitch?
No, his Washington Generals. That's what he calls it. That's Gary from Youngstown. What did Marcel do after he won his password game, epic game this week against Whoopie Pie Blair?
I'm sure it was some sort of epic celebration.
Yeah, he spiked his oodles of noodles. He spiked them. Yeah, that's Eric. In Iowa, what did Blair do after he lost to Marcel in password?
It sounds like he hung his head in shame. What did he do?
Well, he began plotting how to become the new caller of the millennium, is what he planned on doing. That's Blair. All right, here we go. How do you know Sir Scratchoff is dumb?
How do you know?
Well, fifth grade was the best 6 years of his life. So... Right there, that's a sign. That's Aussie momentum. Most of these are from Aussie momentum. How was Sir Scratchoff castrated?
I don't want to know, but
yeah, I don't think I can say that. I think that joke's been banned. But it's a good joke. It's a classic joke. But yeah, can't do that. You got anything over there, Coop?
Yeah.
Okay.
What sexual position makes the ugliest children? Just ask Sir Scratchoff's mom. It's from Aussie Momentum.
Did you hear Sir Scratchoff and his friends are creating a superheroes club?
I did not hear that, no.
Yeah, big news in Arkansas. They are calling themselves the Inbreadables. Aussie Momentum, man. He's lobbing bombs from down under. All right. I'm going to send this one to Coop. I don't think he'll read this one, but I'll send it to him right now. See, maybe it'll pass his censors. All right. Did you know that Hayes likes to read the dictionary?
Yeah, he let us know that in his last call.
Yeah, he has memorized every word from abnormal to zombie. So, that's correct. Why can't Justin in Cincinnati find any jobs?
I don't know. Why is that?
Well, he actually said he can. They all just blow. Please. Just Josh. That's Cincinnati Bro on Cincinnati Bro Crime is what that is. When he's not on Twitter, did you know that Justin in Cincinnati is a collector?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's exciting news here for Justin. He collects unemployment, so he's got that going for him. Justin listens to Fox Sports Radio like every second. I don't think he sleeps. It's unreal. Like, if I want to get caught up on what's going on at the company, I won't ask my boss. I'll ask Justin. I think he listens more. It's unbelievable. All right. Let's see here. What happens when Hayes and Justin in Cincinnati walk into a bar?
I don't know. What happens?
Well, they head over to a mortuary to crack open a cold one. J-Dot from Utah. I think we've had this one before. Who is Doc Mike's favorite rapper?
P. Diddy?
No. Wiz Khalifa.
Ah.
Yeah. So. The curveball, that is, from Eloy, who sent that one in. Anything else over there, Coop?
Why does Tammy in Montana wear underwear?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
To keep her ankles warm. That's from Just Josh.
All right, what kind of show do you get when Ben takes a night off?
I don't know. What kind of show do you get?
Well, actually, you get no show at all. Oh. You get the no show right there. That's James the Machinist. We thank Brian for filling in, putting up with the lunatics in the Mallard Militia. Why is Half Pint nervous for beer drinking Brian this week?
Why is that?
Well, it's the one time of the year when he'll switch from the bottle and go to the draft for three straight days. Three straight days, Eddie. It's unbelievable. All right, there it is. We got a few more jokes, but those are the meat of the jokes here on Lame Jokes.